Well, what a Savior. Amen. Wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Wrapped in burial clothes and laid in a borrowed tomb. Amen. He was born to die. Amen. And we serve a risen Savior today. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. As we continue to celebrate our Savior's birth and this most wonderful time of the year, you know, we hear the prayer request and all of the trouble going on in lives, but I want to tell you that in the midst of all the sin, the sorrow, the sickness, the death, that Jesus Christ is still Lord. Amen. And I want you to understand that because of what Christ came to do, to die for us and rise again, there's hope. Because there's more than just this life. We have an eternal kingdom. Amen. Jesus was born King of the Jews, but not just King of the Jews, but King of the world. King of all creation. And we get to celebrate His birth this time of year. We're in Luke chapter 2. And here in just a moment, we're going to begin reading at verse 4. But before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus, our Savior. Thank You for the privilege to come and to sing Your praises and to worship You today. And Lord, we are broken. We are sinful people. And we are so in need of a Savior. And I thank You that You loved us so much. You sent Christ to be our Savior, who lived perfect and sinless life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, who took our punishment on Himself at Calvary, died and rose again the third day to give us victory over death and hell. And I just pray that we would worship You in spirit and in truth today. Pray that You'd help me to preach Your word exactly as You'd have me to, and that Your spirit would move in our hearts today. Lord, help us to rejoice in who You are and what You've done for us, and help us to just share that joy with others. Please bless the reading and preaching of Your word now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together now, if you would, please. Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Please be seated. We've been talking about the joy of Christmas. There's great joy in preparing for Christmas. God brought John the Baptist into the world to make the way for Jesus. And today we get to do the same thing. We get to talk to our family and friends and neighbors and people we meet. We get to pray for them, and we get to do things like give them gospel tracts and tell them Merry Christmas. And what we want to do is be used of God to prepare the way for Jesus to come into their heart and their life. There's joy in the purpose of Christmas. Listen, Jesus Christ was born to die. We just heard a beautiful song that tells that truth so well. Those lambs were kept there, and they would wait for those perfect lambs, those lambs without blemish, and they would be the ones that would be taken as sacrifices to the temple. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Those lambs were a picture of Jesus, who would come and pay for the sins of the whole world all at one time. Amen. For all people, for all ages. Jesus was born to die. But friends, he was born to die for you. Amen. There's joy in proclaiming the message of Christmas. Amen. Yesterday we had a good time at the parade, and I mean, it's a rush. We didn't get to stop and really have much conversation with people. I did a couple of times, then I had to run to catch up with the float, but that's not good for me to run. Running's good for other people. Running is not good for me. But this, handing somebody one of these gospel tracts and saying Merry Christmas, you ought to try it if you haven't done it yet, because it'll bring joy to your heart. This is a crazy thing. When I hand these to people and say Merry Christmas, you know what they do? So far, it's happened every time. They've taken it and said Merry Christmas back. Isn't that amazing? Listen, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and it has nothing to do with Christmas trees and lights and food. It has everything to do with Jesus. Listen, all that other stuff's good and well, and I love it as much or more than anybody else, but I'm telling you, Jesus is the reason for the season. And there's joy in telling other people what God has shown to you. So I want to talk to you very quickly this morning about sharing and proclaiming the message of Christmas. First of all, you have to receive it. You can't take a message and give it to somebody else unless you first receive that message. Now, you can know the Christmas story. You can know what your gospel tracts say. But I want you to understand this. You're not going to be effective, and there's certainly not going to be any joy in it if it's not in you first. Amen. You've got to have the gospel in you if you're going to have it be effective when you give it to others. You've got to receive it. We see back in verse 4, as those angels were out there watching over their flock by night. Listen, it was just like any other night they were out with their flock. Now, there's some wise people that tell me that Jesus couldn't have been in December because the shepherds wouldn't have been out in the fields in December. I don't know that that's very definitive, because I've seen some December nights when it was 75 degrees. You know, weather changes. And whether you think Jesus was born in December, or you think he was born in January or April or whenever it was you think that he was born, I'm going to tell you this, he was born. And he was born of a virgin. And the night he was born, the angel of the Lord came upon those shepherds. And the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now listen, I know I've been your pastor long enough to have told you the same story over and over, but Melissa puts up with it, so you can put up with it too, okay? All right. Two of you will put up with it. Good, thank you. Hey, I just want to know, have you ever seen something that you're not sure whether what you saw was real or not? Does that happen to anybody? And it's always good if someone else is with you. Now, I told you before about the night Melissa and I saw Bigfoot. You remember that? Because you don't know what you're going to see on Bragg's Mountain. It's not really a mountain, but that's what we called it. We were coming up the hill from Fort Gibson to Bragg's, and as we came up the hill, something walked across the road in front of the car. It looked like a gorilla walking upright. That's what it looked like. But I didn't say anything, because I thought I was going crazy. And Melissa didn't say anything either. We just kept driving. And finally, I kind of looked over at her and said, did you see that too? I don't know if that ever happened to you, where you see something so crazy that you're like, okay, am I hallucinating right now? But that was one of those times. It was really good that Melissa was with me to confirm that I wasn't going insane. And she could have messed with me. I promise you, because I would have thought I was nuts if she just said, I don't know what you're talking about. But she didn't do that because we were both in shock. Like, what in the world? So we, you know, social media is such a blessing. Because when we got to my mom's house and we got on social media to figure out what's going on, we weren't the only people in Bragg's that night that were seeing Bigfoot. It turns out that some genius youth pastor from Fort Gibson dressed up in a gorilla suit and was up in the woods walking back and forth across the road with his youth group. Because it's what youth pastors are good for. I know, because I used to be one. Now, I'm just going to tell you that I'd like to think that when you have an angelic vision, that's something that's not normal. And you'd be in shock. And I just imagine that as this group of shepherds, we don't know how many were there, but we know there were more than one. I can just imagine that one of them cut their eyes to see if the other guys were seeing what they were seeing. Amen. Right? I mean, you're in shock and you just kind of go, okay, am I the only one seeing this right now? There was a confirmation that they were there and they saw this message and they heard this message and they saw the glory of the Lord. And of course, they were terrified. Amen. They were terrified. But this angel came and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Every angelic vision you see in the Bible, you see the angel having to tell people not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. You see, when sinful men are confronted with the glory of God, or just being to have been in the glory of God, it makes us afraid. Amen. It's a good response for us to have. And he said, fear not, verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I want you to understand today, friends, that God has a message for you. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that message isn't just exclusively for this group of people. The message of Christ, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his coming again, that's a message for the whole world. But you've got to receive that message. And listen, sitting in the pew this morning doesn't mean that you've received that message. You have to receive that message by faith. In Acts 2:41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Peter preached at Pentecost, but there were only some of the people there that received the message. They took it in. You've got to make that choice in your heart. In Acts 17:11, the Bible says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. It's up to you to decide whether you want to receive the word or not. Now that's this morning while you're sitting here, because you could be daydreaming right now or actually dreaming right now. You could be thinking about what's for lunch. You could be worrying about your Christmas shopping. You could be thinking about a billion things. I know how it is to sit there and listen to the preacher drone on for, you know, 30 or 40 minutes. You take little trips in your mind. But you've got to make a decision whether to hear the word and have those ears to hear whether you're going to receive the word of God. And that's the way it is right now, and it's the way it is when you open up your Bible for your devotions tonight before you go to bed, and when you get up in the morning and you open your Bible for your devotions, listen, you can read it without receiving it. So you got to make a decision, and we've got to receive it. We've got to receive it by faith. You see, they didn't just receive it, they believed it. In verse 15, it says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You see, they believed it. They believed it. Now, some of you today would say, well, preacher, if I saw an angel, I would believe it too. I want to tell you something, friends. You've got something far better than angelic visions. As a matter of fact, if you say you have an angelic vision, I'm going to be pretty skeptical of your angelic vision. Because we don't need angelic visions. We have the completed word of God. Amen. So we get to look into the scriptures and receive the things that God has made known to us. They believed it. They said, let's go see this thing which is come to pass. They received the message by faith. They believed it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Ephesians 1 and verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Do you see it? If you are born again today, it's because you trusted in Jesus. You trusted in Jesus because you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. But hearing that word didn't do you any good until you believed it. Amen. You see, I grew up in church, Landmark Missionary Baptist Church in Vian, Oklahoma, and I heard the gospel a long time. But it didn't do me, it didn't change me, it didn't make any difference, real difference in my life until I believed it. Amen. Till I trusted in him. I believed in him. You know, there are people in this church that come and listen all the time, but I'm going to tell you that whether it's the gospel itself or any other part of the word of God, it's not going to help you unless you believe. It's not going to change you if you don't believe it. And I'm going to tell you today, friends, you ought to believe every word. Every word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this cause also we thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I want to ask you this morning, do you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen. Do you believe that the Bible is the word of God? Amen. If you do, you've received it, then you have an opportunity and an obligation to share it. Amen. I think that it was Vance Havner that said that there are two kinds of Christians. There are those who are soul winners, and there are those who are disobedient. And that's really the only options. God has commanded us to tell other people the good news. I think it's interesting that in our text this morning, we find these shepherds, when they got the message and they believed the message, they said, we got to go see this. Amen. Christ is born, we've got to go see. This shall be a sign unto you in verse 12. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They hear the angels, the multitude of angels praising God and giving glory to God. And it says in verse 15, let's go and see this. In verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They heard about Jesus. They went and saw Jesus. They believed Jesus. And then they went and told other people about Jesus. And really, that's the way it ought to be for us, right? You've heard about Jesus. You believe in Jesus. Now you know Jesus. You've seen him by faith. And now you ought to go tell other people about him. It's interesting to me that the shepherds didn't have to have a commandment to go make known abroad the saying. They just wanted to tell people. So what is it they made known abroad? Well, it was the saying which was told them. So let's back up to verse 10. First of all, it's good news. What was told them concerning this child? Well, it's good news. It's good tidings of great joy. Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Amen. Have you ever been super thirsty? Amen. If you haven't, you ought to try public speaking. Make you thirsty. I know it's cold outside, but I know this. When you get outside and you work and you sweat, you get thirsty. And cold water is the best thing there is. Nothing better. We've got some good news for thirsty souls. Problem is, a lot of people around us don't know that they're thirsty, but the people who do, the gospel is truly good news to them. Jesus Christ came to be good news, and he came to preach good news. In Luke chapter 4, verse 17, Luke 4:17 says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of them all were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Messiah was going to come to preach good news, to preach deliverance. That's preaching is good news. It's what we get the word evangelize from. Evangelism. That's what we're talking about. These glad tidings, this good news. Friends, the gospel is good news. And I don't know why, but I still get nervous preaching the gospel to people, like just going up to a stranger and striking up a conversation, or when we go out on Sunday afternoons and knock on doors. I still get nervous about that. And it frustrates me with myself, because it's the greatest thing in the world to take the greatest news in the world, the best news in the universe, and to give it to somebody else. That's an awesome thing. What a joy. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." You see, we get to preach the gospel. We get to give people an opportunity to believe in Jesus. And I think that we need to be the kind of people that bring people to a place of decision. We need to be the kind of people that when they meet us, they're going to have to decide what they're going to do with Jesus. I'm so thankful that there were people in my life who cared enough about me to give me the gospel. I'm thankful that they stayed faithful. I'm thankful that God was long-suffering to me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Aren't you thankful for the Bible today? Amen. Thankful that we can know the word of God. And when you believe the word of God, when you trust in Jesus Christ and what he did, he gives you eternal life. And we get the privilege of taking that good news to other people. Giving people good news is often difficult, because we have to give them bad news before we can give them good news. If we don't give them the bad news first, the good news won't make any sense. If I tell you I have a cure for you, but I don't explain to you the disease that you have, then you're probably just going to ignore me. But we've got to give people the bad news first. The bad news is we're all sinners. The bad news is we've all come short of the glory of God. And the worst news is the penalty of our sin is death. I mean, honestly, we've all lied. Have you ever told a lie? You ever stolen anything? Looked with lust? Taking God's name in vain? Disobeyed your parents? Listen, friends, the point is we're all guilty. We've all broken God's law. And you may think, well, so what? We've all done that. Well, the so what is the wages of sin is death. The gospel is good news today because, friends, hell is real. And it's good news to know that Jesus died so you wouldn't have to spend eternity there. Amen. It's good news, and it's good news for everyone. Back in verse 10, he says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Amen. Jesus Christ didn't just come to be a Savior for the Jews, not for just some of the Jews, but he came to be Savior for the whole world. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10. 1 Timothy 4:10 says, For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. 1 John tells us that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Jesus died for every man, woman, boy, and girl who was dead in trespasses and sins. You know who that is? That's everybody. The good news of the gospel, the good news of Christmas, the joy of proclaiming this message is it's good news for everybody. Listen, I don't have to pick and choose who to give the gospel to. Everybody needs it. And everybody can receive it if they'll come by faith. It's good news for everybody. See, I think Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. And it does seem, people seem to, you know, if they don't get caught up in all the nonsense, it just seems to be a happier time. People are friendlier. Gave a gospel tract to a young lady at the store, the pig. Everybody knows where the pig is, right? She was tired because everybody that works at the Piggly Wiggly is tired. And I said, how are you? She said, I'm tired. I said, well, Merry Christmas. Are you ready for Christmas? She said, I'm getting there. I said, it's the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it? And you know what? She perked up and said, you know, it is. It's just a good time. And it's not because everybody breaks out their Michael Blue Blaze CDs. I mean, that helps. Listen, if you don't like Michael Bublé Christmas CDs, then we got problems. It's not because of the Hallmark movie. I saw a Hallmark movie, and then I saw 10 more. But it all felt like the same movie. And I still watched them anyway. Listen, we can dream about a white Christmas. We can tell everybody Merry Christmas in town. We can know in our hearts it's the most wonderful time of the year. We can enjoy all of those things. But I want to tell you something, friends. There's no greater joy. There's no greater joy than giving someone else the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they can enjoy all the other things that happen this time of year. But if they don't know Jesus, they don't know joy. Verse 11 said, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ came to save every person. He came to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm thankful today that he came to save sinners because I would argue with Paul and say that I'm the chief. I'm the chief of sinners. So because of the good news that Jesus came to die for all, that we can have joy in proclaiming this good news, I want to challenge you. If you've received the message, if you believe that Christ died for you and rose again, if he saved you, that you would take that gospel message to other people. That you would use the little tools that we help you with, that these gospel tracts, or get your own gospel tracts, or get the old chick tracts, it doesn't matter, use something. But take the gospel to other people. That you talk to the people that you go to school with, that you talk to the people that you go to work with, that you talk to your family, your friends, your neighbors, the person at the gas station, the person at the grocery store, wherever you go, spread the gospel to everyone that you can. I want to tell you, we live in a dark day. And I'm not talking about the fact that this world is so messed up, and it is. I'm not talking about how corrupt our politicians are, or how much war and all the other stuff's going on. I'm talking about how dark it is in Christianity today, and I want you to hear me. Because God forbid there'd be somebody like this in our church. I have heard multiple testimonies of the last several years of people in churches like this one arguing with their pastor that Christians shouldn't go out and do evangelism. That people are trying to tell me that it's a wrong thing for Christians in a church to give the gospel to lost people. That you shouldn't go into your community and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus, because that's offensive and it'll give the church a bad name. I want to tell you something, friends. That's crazy. Amen. And ungodly and unbiblical and unloving. Amen. Well, it's not very nice to tell people they're going to go to hell. That's like telling the cancer doctor he's not nice for telling you you've got cancer. I mean, how evil would he have to be to run the test and see that you've got cancer and to know that he could give you treatment to help you, and then he doesn't even tell you you're sick? That would be horrible. To just know that you've got a disease and let you die. And there are people who claim to be Christians today who want to make that argument. Well, that offends people to tell them they're sinners. I promise you, listen to me. There are going to be people in hell one day. And they're going to rail against Isaac Slate. Because Isaac had the opportunity to give them the gospel and he didn't. They're going to wish for eternity that I would have offended them with the gospel while they were yet alive. And by the grace of God, I don't want to leave anybody else that opportunity. I don't want to have anybody in hell railing against me because I didn't tell them. Hey, if this community hates Calvary Missionary Baptist Church because we keep bothering them with the gospel, glory to God.
Amen.
God will be pleased. Amen. They can be offended. They can be upset if they want to. But God would be pleased if every one of you and me would be faithful in taking the gospel to everybody we meet. And we should. And we should. And it's a joy. I told you I get nervous every time. I get scared to death. I'll do it again today. If the weather's good and we get to go out and knock on doors, I'll have butterflies walking up to the door, knocking on the door. I'll get scared and nervous. But I want to tell you, when they open that door and you get to start preaching the gospel, this overwhelming joy floods your soul. You get to talking about Jesus and how he died for them. And you get to telling them about how they can repent of their sin and put their faith in Jesus, how they can have life everlasting. I'm going to tell you, that's great joy.
Amen.
To get to give the good news of the gospel. To share with them what Christ has done for you and what he can do in their life, how he can forgive their sin and give them eternal life. There's no greater joy for the Christian than to be used of God to bring someone else to Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, this is a great time of year. Tell everybody you meet, Merry Christmas. Hand out gospel tracts everywhere you go. But pray for, look for, and take advantage of the opportunities God gives you to talk to someone else, to tell them, to proclaim the good news. Those shepherds made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning Jesus Christ. They said, the Christ is born. He's come to be Savior of the world. And you and I can go tell people today that Christ did come, that He died for their sins and rose again, and that they can have a Savior if they'll believe in Him today. Let's stand together.